Now, we don't have any job spots today, so Oliver sits opposite me today in studio. Oliver, morning to you.
Morning to you, Keith.
A great weekend for my Cullen, Clifton and Dunmore.
The clean sweep that we spoke about last week came to pass, Keith. My Cullen and Clifton both won easy enough.
Comprehensively, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the way of putting it. Clifton won 16 to 10 points over St. Ronan's, were never threatened. Mochullen yesterday were just too good, 13 points to 6. They've just such a professional approach to the game now, tactically supreme. They don't concede much. They're very well set up and they just have too much power for teams like Tour de Strand. And it's going to be a fascinating All-Ireland semi-final between themselves and either Kilcoo or Glenn from Derry, who meet next Sunday. So whoever wins that will play then in the new year against Mochullen. And I think it's going to be a 50-50 game. On the other side of the draw, we know that Shane Walsh shot the lights out again for Kilmacud Crokes yesterday, scored 8 points as they were comfortable winners over the Downs. That was always going to be theirs to lose. And they'll wait and see who comes through the Munster final next weekend. But you'd imagine Kilmacud would be well fancied to get to the final. Could it be against Mochullen? We'll wait and see. Shane Walsh up against some of his Galway counterparts. But the best game of the weekend by far was Damore McHale's against St. Dominic's from Roscommon in the intermediate semi-final. Damore won it 116 to 113, but it was a thrilling match, played in Kiltoom. Huge crowd. Saturday was beautiful, Keith. I mean, the conditions were absolutely ideal for December. It wasn't as cold as yesterday. The pitch was good and there wasn't a puff of breeze. So it allowed both teams with a lot of quality on show to put on a real spectacle. Damore should have won by more, but the fact that they held their nerve and won by 3 points showed that they had great maturity. And so they've won a really good Connacht Championship, beating the champions of Sligo, Mayo and Roscommon. And now they go on to an All-Ireland semi-final. And they too, like Mochullen and Clifton, will wait and see what happens in their Ulster Championship intermediate final. So Damore will be playing either Galbally Pierces from Dungannon in Tyrone or Corduff from Monaghan. They're bringing those two teams over to Newry on Saturday evening at 6 o'clock to play that game under lights. So I'd imagine Gary Delaney will have that game watched to see who Damore might be playing on the weekend of the 7th and 8th of January. That's when all three teams are out again. So they can celebrate with silverware at the Christmas dinner table and then prepare, I would say, if not already, they're thinking about having a tilt at All-Ireland glory.
Can I ask you, Mochullen, the success, what brought that about? I mean, it's been a hell of a roller coaster for them.
And you're also alluding to the fact that they won the minor on Saturday. So where's it all coming from? I mean, look, we've talked about numbers and places like Clare Galway and Oranmore Mary are flourishing in GAA because it just seems that on the outer side of Galway City, a lot of people have been moving in, you know, Anna Down. You look at the periphery of Galway City, it would seem obvious. Knocknacara has exploded in recent years, so Salt Hill have loads of numbers there as well. And I don't know, it's not all down to numbers, but there just happens to be a coming together of a particular squad of players. Mochullen have got one or two guys in from outside as well who've done really well because of work. They've moved to Mochullen. So a lot of things have come together and there's a lot of great work going on. And you know, when all of those things combine, suddenly success can happen. Look, don't get me wrong. I think the fact that Corrifeen were so dominant and probably were the greatest All-Ireland club team ever in the last decade, they had to come back to the pack a tiny bit to allow teams like Mochullen and Mobilia Moylock pick up county titles in the last couple of years. But, you know, you still think that with Mochullen winning the Minor A title in a thrilling match with Clare Galway on Saturday, 3-7 to 1-12 after extra time, they're going to get players out of that team. They're going to get players out of the under-19s who are pretty close to winning the West Board as well. And they'll be around for a while. So, yeah. I mean, it's a great time to be from west of Galway City and following teams like Mochullen because they've got a great few years ahead of them. They could have a great few months ahead of them. They're one match away. And as I said to all of these teams, Clifton, Dunmore and Mochullen, 1 hour away from Croke Park and an All-Ireland club final. And that's as much as you could ever possibly achieve as a club player. It's just so exciting. It's fascinating. And we've got that weekend of the 7th and 8th of January to look forward to now, and we're licking our lips already because we're thinking, okay, on the Friday night call we're playing Leitrim in the FPD League, and then the next 48 hours we've got three clubs in All-Ireland semi-finals. What a bumper weekend to kickstart 2023. I can't wait.
Well done. World Cup wise, where are we at?
Well, we're almost down to the quarterfinalists now. That'll be finished off today once Brazil plays South Korea tonight.
When does it finish? The
Croatia. I think Sunday week is the final. Saturday week is the third, fourth playoff. So between now and then, they'll whittle it down. England-France is the big quarter-final to look forward to, isn't it? From this part of the world, anyway. England, comfortable 3-0 winners over Senegal last night. They look good, albeit Senegal were terrible. But England-France will be a blockbuster match. Mm. I mean, England have to try and stop Mbappe. Harry Kane got off the mark with his first goal of the tournament, so he'll be confident. England are good, but France are good.
And there's been quite a few high-profile people.
When you look at just what you're talking about, the countries that have exited the tournament already, like Germany and Belgium, to name but two. There's still loads of quality there, though. And at the end of the day, like Netherlands, Argentina at the top of the draw, England, France, and then you motor down. You know, you're going to have all the big guns are going to be there, whether you like it or not. It's probably going to be Brazil, Croatia, I'd imagine today. Would Japan have a chance of upsetting Croatia?
Would they? Yeah.
You'd probably think more of a chance than South Korea have against Brazil. But you'll probably still end up with four previous winners getting to the semi-finals and a familiar look. It probably at the moment has a Brazil-France look about it if you're going to go on favourites. But that's not to say that there won't be penalties, drama at some point along the way where somebody misses and somebody loses out. Chances are it'll be England.
He says they were tongue in cheek.
They've lost plenty of them over the years, but then again, they won in the last one. So we'll wait and see, but that's going to play out over the next little while. The golf at the weekend over in America was the Hero Golf Challenge, which is basically a small field of invited players hosted by Tiger Woods. Lots of money on offer. Victor Hovland won it. He won it last year. He finished two shots clear of Scottie Scheffler, which was the exact same 1-2 as last year. Shane Lowry didn't really get going at all weekend, but still picks up a healthy check. The fact that he's in the field, he knew he was laughing. So he was in 18th place on 5 over par. Of the other stories,
he gets a healthy check.
Of course he will. Doesn't like in those tournaments, but like the LIV Golf, you know, you've got players over there finishing last and making more money than they did in the preceding 5 years on the PGA Tour. So some of these things, it's more important to be in them than
Not
winning it. You know, you're going to get a good paycheck either way. Rugby at the weekend, Connacht had a good win. They beat Benetton by double scores, 38 points to 19. So that at least takes the pressure off in the URC. They ended up with the bonus points, so that's 5, plus the one they got from Munster, a losing bonus point. 6 points the last two games, reasonable enough deposit put in the bank. And now we head to Europe for the next 2 weekends. So we welcome Newcastle Falcons from England this Saturday to the sports ground in the Challenge Cup, and then the following week we go over to France to play Brive. So hopefully Connacht will be able to do the business on both occasions and make sure that the two games then in the new year, the reverse fixtures, gives them every chance of advancing from the group.
I believe the atmosphere in town was magical on Saturday night.
I can only imagine with the Christmas market and with the game, some of the Italian fans in town and the game itself and such a short walk in. Oh, sure, look at it, it'd be just a festive treat. And there's a couple more big games with Ulster and Leinster to come as well over the Christmas and New Year period as well. So you could do worse as a stocking filler than get someone a couple of tickets to go to one of those big games in the sports ground over the next few weeks. But it's going to be a really interesting time for Connacht because they had the month off in November when Ireland were playing, and now it's just every week for the next 10 weeks. So they've got loads to look forward to as well. A word on Gary Wilson, who won the snooker, the Scottish Open. I won't call him a journeyman, but he's a journeyman. He's 37 years of age, and it's his first ever ranking event, beating fellow Englishman Joe O'Connor 9-2 in the final of the Scottish Open. And it's just cross-channel racing today, including Musselburgh and Lingfield. The big talking point from the weekend was the defeat of Honeysuckle, who'd never lost but was beaten yesterday. Yeah. So the unbeaten run of Honeysuckle came to an end.
Unfortunate. And Pelly?
Strange one, this. I mean, this is the story where, coming out of Brazil, there's conflicting reports over the welfare of Pelé. Now, his family say that the Brazil football legend's treatment for a respiratory infection was aggravated by COVID-19. In an interview last night, his two daughters and grandson said reports that he's receiving end-of-life care is not true. They're confident he'll return home once he's feeling better. So that all seems really odd.
Because yesterday, I mean, the headlines in all the news was he's getting palliative care and that...
Oh, it's a matter of days and it'll happen during the World Cup. And there'll be a big celebration of his life during the World Cup. Yeah. And Brazil will have black armbands and the great man will be honoured.
Revered.
And the family here are saying that they're expecting him home. So once he's feeling better. So I don't know what's going on here as regards whether they're trying to play it down from a family. Are they in denial or is there a misreporting going on here? But it just seems a little bit odd that, you know, world news organisations were running with the story that Pelé was receiving end-of-life care, and that was running right throughout Saturday on all the bulletins and Sunday as well, and tributes being paid to him. And we heard from so many players at the World Cup who were paying tribute to him as if he was dead. And here they are saying they're confident he'll return home once he's feeling better. Watch this space.
Okay, all right. Well done to you. Thanks, Dean. And well done to Mike Cullen, Clifton, and Dunmore as well over the weekend. Great entertainment, I have to say, on the radio here. So, and well done to all the sports team. I mean, they were on the four corners of the county, so they were. So well done to all. Oliver, thank you indeed for joining us today on the programme. Comment lines are open if you want to get through to us on 091-770-077. We're back just after these.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
The winner in association with the Galmont Hotel is Catherine Donlan of Kilimer in Ballinasloe. Congratulations to you. You're going for afternoon tea to the Galmont Hotel, and further details can be had from their website if you're looking for different gift ideas to Catherine Donlan, Kilimer in Ballinasloe. Congratulations to you from there. I'm joined by a plethora of people. Mairead Seary joins me, committee member of CURV. Daniel Hyland is the principal of Claren College. And Anastasia joins me, a member of the Ukrainian community in Esker. And Catherine joins me as well. And we're looking at the Athenry Musical School. It's delighted to present its free Christmas concert on Sunday, the 11th of December at 3 p.m. in Athenry Church. Daniel, good morning to you. How are things today?
Good morning, Keith. Delighted to be here.
Congratulations. You brought a good few people with you, so you did. This is a brilliant idea, so it is. Free.
It's a wonderful community initiative, and it's a lovely inclusive initiative too, where we welcome our friends from the Ukraine, and in terms of allowing them an opportunity to engage with the community in Athenry, it's a wonderful, you know, we're proud of this, and it's effective to make them feel welcome too.
And there's a good gang of them in Esker. We'll talk about that in a moment, so mm-hmm. But there is a good gang of them there.
There is indeed, yes. We've 21 students ourselves in school.
Have you?
Yeah.
That's a huge injection in the school for you, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. And thankfully now the teachers have made a great efforts to welcome them and obviously make them feel included, and obviously we work to practices that help them learn as well, which is our key priority for them while they're with us.
Catherine joins me, director of the Athenry Music School. You have your hands full, have you?
We're good. We're busy.
Are you ready to go?
We are ready to go.
What will you be performing? Give us a flavour of what they can expect on Sunday.
We have five of our orchestras involved. We have
five. Oh, like you're showing off now. Somewhere.
I know. We have the Ballinasloe Town Band. We have our three choirs, and one of those is the Corla Cayla, which means to sing together. And that between Mairead Seary of CURV and the director Fionnuala Hannigan Dunkley, we have welcomed the Ukrainians into that choir in a scholarship programme. And we are singing in Ukrainian.
Get away.
Yep.
And how is your Ukrainian language?
Better than your Irish.
That's a dig at me now. Them McManus crew, they're always at us, so they are. I'm only joking. But it is an interesting, Daniel, it's an interesting collaboration, though.
Very much so. As we kind of said previously, it allows them to be fully integrated into the Athenry community, and the efforts there, it presents them with an opportunity, you know, to demonstrate musical skills and feel welcome, and also, you know, to be fully integrated with outside of school, and gives them an opportunity to leave Esker as well, and to have that kind of chance to, it's good for their mental well-being.
For their mental health, yeah. Absolutely. I'll go down the station in a moment. Can you pull it tight more, Mairead's Seary, committee mm-hmm. member with CURV, can you pull into that microphone?
Sure,
there?
Keith, yeah.
And you're involved in all of this then?
Yeah, well, I suppose I'm a member of Corla Cayla, and, you know, speaking to Catherine back in September, I suggested that it might be an opportunity to, you know, allow some of the adult residents in Esker, you know, a chance to become involved in a community group. And of course, she welcomed the idea straight away. And, you know, so now every Thursday evening, three of the residents from Esker come to the weekly practice. So Anastasia and two of the other women hop into the car with me. We spin into the practice and, you know, we have a lovely hour, don't we? You know, we were just chatting about it in the car coming in here.
But isn't it great though to do it? And you're great to volunteer your time like that.
Well, I suppose a lot of people are doing, you know, great things out there in the community. As Daniel has said, you know, you've like teachers and nurses and all kinds of people on the front line who are kind of welcoming these new people into our society. And I think community groups have so much to give. And actually, I think we've a lot to gain also by including these people.
Mm. And Estasia, can you pull into that microphone there, if you don't mind as well? Tell me a little bit about yourself. I'll try and get that speaker out of your way so I can see you then, so I can. Tell me a little bit about you. You're from the Ukraine and you're living in Esker.
Yes, I'm from Ukraine. I arrived 4 months ago. And I'm living in Esker, and I like this choir very, very like this choir. I have afraid to sing in my own, so when I come to choir, it's very friendly atmosphere, very warm, and I can be feel safe and thin and have support from these people. So there's
power in numbers then, effectively, is what you're saying to me. That it's nice to be in a group singing together.
Yes, it's very nice. They always joke. They always funny. And I feel good energy. I have power to do something big.
Hmm. Well, you have the power to do something big because you're only a young person, so you can do it. You can take Marie's mm-hmm. job, and they eventually say you can. You know, you should really go after her job. Big payment.
I know, absolutely. They're wonderful, you know, and I suppose we've. You know, we have gained a lot from it. You know, we're going to be singing a very famous Ukrainian song in this concert. We've all turned our hands to our Ukrainian. So, you know, we've made great progress there with the Korla Kayla group.
And Estasia, are they good? Are they good singers? Now, you can be honest now with me. You can tell me the truth. Are they doing a nice job of the Ukrainian song?
Yes, they do. They sing in a very... professional, and when we start one song, after two or three times singing, it's very beautiful to hear this.
And it must be quite emotional as well at times, Marie. She's away from her own country singing their song, and all of you are taking part in it. It must be an emotional.
Yeah, honestly, we're probably, you know, more caught up with the practicalities of getting our tongues around the Ukrainians. So, you know, the girls have obviously we've been drawn on them for pronunciation. But, you know, and actually last week we did a bit of Silent Night in Irish, so we got our own back on them. You know,
well,
but
well done.
I want to say two words about feeling, because first time when I go to a choir, I have little tears
yeah.
in choir, because it's very powerful when people sing together.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's your language and it's your culture and they're doing it for you because you're here, which is very special. So you deserve it. Coming back across, Catherine, to you again. Again, to try and pull this together, how long is it going to take? In total, how long will the whole performance take?
The concert is a really nice, tight concert because we're very aware that people are busy over Christmas. So we will start on the dot of 3 o'clock on Sunday in Athenry Church, and we will be finished by 4:10.
4:10?
Oh, yeah. Stage management crew in Athenry is good.
Daniel, she's very precise. Are you involved in the stage management crew?
No, right? I'm not, thankfully. So
we've 9 readers as well from the community. That the Heritage Centre, who won the Mayor's Award in 2021, yeah. Glinder, who are the Stilters, who won in 2020. We've got, you know, the first responders are, there's a whole group of community groups as well who are honoured in this particular concert.
And is it a ticketed event?
It is not.
No, so anybody can turn up?
Anybody can come, it's free.
Wow.
It is a celebration of community and a celebration of Christmas.
So, and you have good capacity. I mean, the church there in Athenry has good capacity.
It does indeed, yeah. We generally have about 1,000.
Wow. You're not hanging about like on a Sunday at 3 o'clock. But I suppose then it's 3 o'clock, it's a family event. It's 2 weeks to Christmas after that. They can bring the kids in, they can make an afternoon of it around Athenry, and then
absolutely.
Head home at a reasonable hour.
Yeah, get themselves down to the Santa's Village and the Heritage Centre.
And from there, again, Daniel, you're talking, you're principal of Clarence College, but you're talking about the new students you've got. Is this kind of collaboration that Mairead and Anastasia are talking about, is that the type of collaboration that you're working on to integrate them with all the other students then as well?
Well, it's not just the post-primary students. We have approximately 6 to 7 in our PLC programme as well.
Good.
Highly qualified, highly capable people, like nuclear physicists who have enrolled just to, you know, to occupy their time and have come to develop themselves. Like, there's great potential for our economy and indeed our local community to benefit from the skills that they have in the long run once, you know, better integration happens in the future.
It's not a great story, though, because we do have a shortage of staff levels in this country. But that's forward-thinking, though, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, very much so. And I think it's a case of, you know, getting them accustomed to our application processes, developing their English, to give them the capacity to apply for these positions should they decide to stay here in the long term.
Yeah.
And if I can just come in there, Keith, that's exactly what CURVE is kind of working towards. So CURVE stands for the Committee of Ukrainian Residents and Volunteers in Esker. So again, you know, the committee is there to support the integration of these people into our community so we can all benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the priests have gone to Esker now, haven't they? Right?
They have. I think they left at the, is that right, last week?
It
was the end of November.
Last Friday.
It was last Friday, was it, yeah? Kind of the end of an era.
Oh, absolutely. Very emotional.
Was it? Were you there? You were, Catherine, yeah? Very, very emotional, I would think.
It's a magic place.
It is a magic place, yeah. Hopefully something might happen, but it is a big building for someone to take on and try and keep heaters and all that type of stuff. It's maintaining, it's a big building, though.
Very much so.
But a magical spot. All right, guys, if they want to get further details on this, just go along then, this coming Sunday, the 11th of December, at 3 p.m. in Athenry Church, a celebration indeed by the community, for the community, and featuring all of the people. We've Clarence College Choir, Ballinasloe Town Band, you said there, members of the Ukrainian community in Esker that are there, and many others as well, Catherine, really, yeah?
Absolutely, hundreds.
Hundreds. How do you get them all in and out?
With grace.
With grace.
Yeah.
Well, it's the church, of course, yeah. You've all the answers today, so yeah. All the answers. Daniel Hyland, thank you for joining us. Mairead Seary, thank you for joining us. Anastasia, enjoy.
Thank you.
And thank you. And just enjoy Esker. And thank you for popping into us. And Mairead Seary, thank you as well for joining us today on the programme. And again, if you want to get further details, there's no tickets needed. Just get there on time. What time, Catherine, should they be there? About 1:30, 2:45?
2:45 is fine.
2:45. And if there's any problem that you can't get in, just say, Catherine said on the radio, I can get in. That's it. I say, you're going to be overrun, you know, because there's a...
That would be wonderful.
There's a great catchment area. Are you putting speakers outside? I want to know. Why do you want to know that, lad? No, not yet.
It probably will be broadcast.
Broadcast as well. Yeah. Excellent. Super. Thank you, guys, for joining us today. Now, the comment lines are all open if you want to get through to us today on 091-770-077 and 53995 if you want to get in contact there. You can also call us on 091-770-077. We're back just after these. The comment lines are open. They're your comment lines. Do give us a call.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco, keeping it local, working with over 30 new West of Ireland suppliers.
Very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're with you right through until 12 midday. The comment lines are open on 091-770-077. If you do want to get in contact with us, we would love to hear from you today. Now, I was reading the City Tribune last week and there was a lovely article in it that Dave spoke to us about last week about a family, the Carrick family indeed, in Renmore, and their annual Christmas light show. But I'm joined on the line by James Carrick and he joins me on the line today. James, morning to you.
Good morning, Keith. How are you?
I'm good. Congratulations. The photograph was just amazing, so it was. But how long have you been doing this?
This is the fourth year. So it started off about 4 years ago and has warped into a rather large exercise every year. but it's really enjoyable. We get out there every night for the whole month of December, meet loads of people, collect loads of money for charity, and
good on you.
That's our life for December.
Good on. It's a fair commitment, so it is, James.
It is. It is. We have. I work for a company out in Oranmore, and every year they basically give me a week off to go and actually put the show up on the wall. And you know, it's it takes a long time. There's a lot of lights.
And they're very good to allow you that time to do so.
They're so good. They're it's a program that they run for all of their employees, that for giving back, and it's a huge part of the corporate culture, I suppose, is giving back to the community that you're in. So yeah, it's madness.
You better give them a mention, for God's sake, if you want to.
Disco Systems out in Oranmore, right on the roundabout. Great place. I've been out there for nearly 15 years, if not more.
Wow.
And they're just so supportive.
Cisco Systems. Well, isn't it lovely that they allow you to give back to the community? Now, I know you're using your own home, and that how are numbers and traffic flow and all that? So you do it every evening between 6:30 and 7:30, except Sunday.
We do.
It'll be 5 p.m.
We do Monday to Saturday at 6:30 until around about 7:30, and we're in Lurgan Park, and we're actually in a cul-de-sac, which is great. So most people know, and we advertise on Facebook, most people know not to drive down the cul-de-sac. There can be a lot of kids. Yesterday we do a Sunday show, and we usually get a special visitor comes in with a red suit and a beard, and he'll, you know, say hello to all the kiddies and everything just before the show starts. So we had, sometimes on a Sunday we could have, you know, 150 people
wow.
out there.
Wow. So what's the best place then? So if they're going into Lurgan Park, so that's off the, still call it the Carb Great Southern Hotel roundabout.
Yeah.
So if they're heading...
If you come down from the Carb Great Southern into Lurgan Park and keep the new guard station on your right-hand side, and McGreal's shop is down there, and there's a fine big stretch of road where you can just park up there and walk through, a little footpath through into the cul-de-sac. You won't miss it. There's 70,000 tiny little LEDs flashing, so there'd be no chance of you missing the show.
Did you say 70,000?
70,000 tiny little LEDs, and every one of them is programmed to go in time with the music. So they're all doing something different colours.
So this is first off, you get the week off from Cisco Systems, which is great. But I mean, it must be painstakingly... putting them up and then taking them down in the right rotation again.
No, the biggest issue is that when you, it is a hobby, but when you put somebody with this hobby who actually has a tiny little bit of OCD for hiding wiring and stuff like that, then it becomes a labor of love. So we had the Tribune now taking pictures, and Joe Shockensey is a great supporter. Came out and he said, James, one thing, where's all the wires? I can't see the wires. So they're all wired.
So you're meticulous about the work that you do, hence it takes you...
I'm tidy.
The week. Yeah. And are you tidy inside as well as outside?
Yeah.
And
not in December.
Not in December. And I mean, again, just to get 150 young people, and how do your neighbours? How do they feel about all this attention and lights?
It's brilliant. So we the first year we did it, because we kind of knew. I could see the vision of it all year. I'd spent nearly 800 hours in the shed making all this stuff, making all the controllers and up to McDonough's and McMahon's or whatever, and buying Eves and just to cut up with the good plastic. But the first year we went out, we sent a letter to every house on the street and said, look, this is what we're doing. Here's my phone number. If you have any issues, please ring me. We tend to go out and we don't traffic manage, because that's not our job. But you more often find me standing in the middle of the street with the charity bucket. And then if a car comes down, I say, look, you know, by all means, I can't stop you going down there, but you're going to have to navigate between all of those kids. And at the very end, because of the cul-de-sac, you're going to have to reverse back out, and you're going to have a very embarrassed looking face on you. in front of everyone.
Yeah.
So most people just say, yeah, okay, I'm just not going to drive down there.
Which is
it's good, it's fine.
Which is the right thing to do from there. So tonight then, 6:30 to 7:30.
6:30, 7:30, around about 7:30. We run it for just about the hour, and then it's the kiddies are cold enough and want to go home at that stage, the mammies.
And you turn off the lights then at that stage?
I have a little, what I call a sequence, that basically just turns on a few and twinkles them and stuff like that. And it's to give a little flavour that we actually have Christmas lights all of the other time of the month. But the main thing is when the show starts, as such, everyone knows what time it is, and they'll be all standing there, and then suddenly nearly every light on the house lights up, all in different colours and showing patterns. And, you know, we can draw faces, we can play videos across it and stuff like that. So it's one of those things that it's very hard to describe to somebody, but the minute they see it, they get it, and they go, oh my God.
So you must have put a huge amount of investment into creating the 70,000 LEDs.
Definitely, yeah. I've been adding to it for, you know, throughout the years, over the last 4 years, but the initial investment was, one, was the majority was time. Yes, there was a fair amount of money went into it. But in, you know, I can add to it fairly cheaply. I build a lot of my own stuff, and then it's just getting the raw materials, the lights, and I get them in from the UK or China or wherever I can get them. And I'd be fairly handy in that I wouldn't be depending on anyone else to build the electronic controllers and all of that. So, you know, I can do all of that myself. So it's a very engaging hobby, but. Yeah, initially a very expensive one.
Yeah, but you know what? You're entertaining people, which is the most important thing. Isn't that the most important thing, really? That you're entertaining people, they're coming along, they can do it on a nightly basis, 6:30 to 7:30. They can go home fulfilled with the joy of a professional presentation like this, as was in the City Tribune on Friday. So it's somewhere for them to go. I mean, I was talking at the top of the programme, that I saw the big wheel in on Friday evening. We were doing a bit of filming in the Christmas market. I like that the big wheel has a huge amount of lights on it, but there's different sequences. But you'd watch it, you'd sit and watch it for hours, so you would just see the different sequences. And like if you were to go abroad, you'd pay a fortune to see something like what you're providing, or indeed what the big wheel was providing as well.
No, it's great. We've a lovely following on Facebook, Instagram. Come down every year. It's growing year on year, and you know, as I said, the one question I get asked every time, your electric bill is going to be through the roof. And you know, I'm in part of a large group, worldwide group, and I meet every Thursday night. I get 2 hours off out of the shed, put the meeting on, and we all have a big Christmas meeting all year long. And we talk about things like this, and we've, you know, done the calculations, and I would say because they're tiny little LEDs and because they don't draw that many amps and stuff like that, my extra bill, if you like, will probably be under €100 for the month.
Wow.
So I'm okay with that. I had my own Cisco oven, or more asked me, James, you know, look, it's going to be difficult this year. Can we help? Can we, you know, pay towards it? We'll do a bake sale and pay towards your electric bill. And I says, no. I said, that'd be great if you could do the bake sale, but could you give it to Cladda Watch? So that's what they're doing. It's great. It's a lovely feeling. The lights have paid for themselves, Keith, in the last 3 years. They've paid for themselves in the amount we've raised for charity. So I'm happy.
And how much do you hope to raise finally for Cladda Watch?
I don't know. I mean, I go in with a very open mind every year, because I can't be stressing myself out over something that I can't control.
Yeah.
So, you know, people turn up, people put money in the buckets. We have a little donation station here, and it flashes the lights when they put the money in. And the kids, you know, love throwing all the change in. I mean, lights flash all the time, which is fine. You know, we've raised nearly, we're about 28.5 to 30,000 over the last 3 years.
Good on you.
Yeah. So, if whatever we get, I'll be over the moon, and I'm sure Clyde Watcher will be very happy. And that's just that's the secondary benefit. It's the main benefit is seeing those kids' faces on a
night when basis. Well done to you. Now, again, if you're coming from anywhere, just the Scargrass Southern Hotel roundabout, go around it, go down into Lurgan Park, leave the guard station on the right hand side, you come down to a grill shop, there's a fine stretch of road there, park responsibly and follow the feet, and there's a little pathway that'll bring you into it. James, congratulations to you and to Lisa and all the crew that made this possible, and thanks for joining us today on the programme.
Thank you so much, Steve.
A lovely, lovely story. It's a lovely story. It's a real Christian story. It's all free, but you can make a donation if you can afford to. So again, 6:30 to 7:30 tonight, and again 5 o'clock on a Sunday. That's it for today. We're back July from Studio One tomorrow morning. If you want to us to cover something on the programme, feel free just to email comments at galwaybfm.ie. But before I go, I want to do this because I want to play a bit of music, and this is it. For today, we're back in July from Studio One tomorrow morning, just after the 9 o'clock news. Thank you to John, who produced today. To your listeners, thank you indeed for being there. Don't forget, we'll be doing that giveaway in association with the Galmont Hotel again tomorrow morning. And you can get further details from the Galmont, just thegalmont.com is their website. That is it. We hope that you enjoyed today's programme. We're back just after 9 o'clock news. Have a good and a safe Monday. Don't forget it's going to be very cold out there tonight, so wrap up indeed and just take a nice and handy if you're on the roads as well. Abe, you took your comments. John produced from yours truly, Keith Finnegan. Until tomorrow, just after 9, have a good and a safe Monday.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco, standing up for joy this Christmas.